Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, and good morning. If I could start with the, in the event the fire alarm would go off, the fire exits are, in your case, to your left behind you or through the main doors into the boardroom, out across the street in front of the building museum where the nut and the bolt is that's out there. For our safety contact this morning, we'd certainly want to talk a little bit about the flu. It seems to be going around, I know, in my office as well as others. And although we are in February with above-average temperatures, it is still flu season, and influenza or the flu is a serious, contagious disease. It is still not too late to get a flu vaccine. The Center for Disease Control recommends a yearly flu vaccine at the first and most important step in protecting against flu viruses. While there are many different flu viruses, the flu vaccine protects against the three viruses that research suggests will be most common. Everyone 6 months of age and older should get vaccinated against the flu as soon as the season vaccine is available. People at high risk of serious flu complications include young children, pregnant women, people with chronic health conditions like asthma, diabetes, or heart and lung disease, and people 65 years and older. Vaccination of high-risk persons is especially important to decrease their risk of severe flu illnesses. Vaccination is also important for healthcare workers and other people who live with or care for high-risk people to keep from spreading the flu to high-risk people. Children younger than 6 months are at high risk of serious flu illness but are too young to be vaccinated. People who care for them should be vaccinated instead. I would like to offer the following everyday preventions to stop the spread of germs, and that would be to cover your nose and mouth with a tissue when you cough or sneeze. Wash your hands often with soap and water. If soap and water are not available, use an alcohol-based hand rub. This is especially important after you go out in public and do such things as touching shopping carts, touch staircase handrails, shake hands, utilize common areas or items such as restrooms or hand tools. Wash your hands or utilize hand sanitizer before and after eating or smoking. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Germs spread this way. I'd like to remind everybody, please stay safe, and thank you for your attention.
Thank you. This month, we have the quarterly report from the Tri-State Oversight Committee. That's actually this year. He has a presentation. I would suggest we let him go through the whole presentation and then have discussion and questions as appropriate. All right.
Thank you, Chairman Downey, and good morning, members of the board. I'd like to thank you all for the opportunity to provide our quarterly update. As you know, the TOC is the FTA-designated State Safety Oversight Agency that's responsible for the safety and security oversight for WMATA's rail system. The general topics we're going to be covering are going to include corrective action plan management, some recent safety studies and follow-up actions taken to address them, hazard management, as well as a quick overview of a few incidents that you may have already been briefed on but have risen to our level of awareness. Just some updates on management of the agency's policy level safety and security plans, and as well as a couple miscellaneous issues. I think that before I dive into the meat of this, I'd like to make the overall note that the TOC-WMATA relationship is strong. I think that it's reaching a fairly mature point, and we're now in the stage of sort of working to strengthen and improve the processes and the safety and security processes that are in place, rather than trying to design them. And I think that the issues that we note today are more in the programmatic troubleshooting category rather than system-wide concerns. So I think that this is more of continuous improvement rather than I wouldn't note anything here that's very that I would characterize as very serious. We will get the next the first topic we had to discuss is corrective action plan management. A quick refresher. WMATA is required by federal regulation and our standards to develop corrective action plans in response to identified hazards, whether they come from accident investigations, their own inspections, their own internal audits, a number of different sources. And corrective action plans, which say what's going to be done, who's going to do it and by when it's going to get completed are our mechanism as an oversight agency, as well as WMATA's internal one, for ensuring that these concerns are adequately addressed. It's our role as an oversight agency to review and approve them and also to track them, but it's WMATA's responsibility to propose them and to ensure that they're realistic and they will work for the agency. In December and January, the CAP progress was somewhat limited. It was lower than it ordinarily, and by progress, I mean closures. There was three closed in December and one in January. We expressed some concern about this rate of progress at our monthly meeting, I think it was in January, and there was a very strong response to that over the course of the last 3 or 4 weeks. That 14 closures over the last 3 weeks is already out of date. It's now up to 17. And I'd also like to note that there were a number of them that were listed as open, unacceptable action. The responsible party wasn't entered in, or they were past due, or there was no action entered in there. Even though they may not have since been closed out, the WMATA staff did put in a significant effort to update all of those fields so we can at least say that they're all current, they all have an identified action, and they all have an up-to-date responsible person. And that was obviously a significant improvement over December and January. I think February was certainly a success story, but moving forward, the process does need a little bit more consistency to ensure there's demonstrate both a steady rate of progress. The last thing I'll note about corrective action plans is that we like to see closures on the back end. We like to see that what is proposed is actually getting done. But on the front end, we like to see new ones being created because it indicates that the process is valid. It indicates that when safety hazards and deficiencies are being identified, that they're being tracked through the established program. This chart had a lot more red in it at the beginning of February and went through a few additional iterations. There's still a small handful of open corrective action plans that require a revised action plan, but the ones, as I mentioned, that were lacking responsible party or due date or anything like that, those have all been resolved. So I'm pleased to see a lot of green on this chart. As you know, TOC and WMATA worked together to put together a fatigue management study on the rail side. We've already gotten some brief outs from the WMATA staff on their plan moving forward for fatigue management. There's a lot of additional study both on the bus and paratransit side, as well as some more technical reviews from some outside experts that I believe they're bringing in. We got formal correspondence from them on the 13th outlining some of these plans. We're going to provide a formal response on it, but we think that at present it's the current roadmap is acceptable. We performed as requested by FTA in a March 2010 audit, an evaluation of WMATA's hazard management program. Hazard management is the means by which, accident investigation is the means by which you ensure that a safety deficiency that has caused a problem does not reoccur. Hazard management is the mechanism by which they hopefully ensure that a safety problem does not actually cause one in the future. It's sort of the leading versus the lagging indicator. We went through WMATA's hazard management process, a formal document that they'd submitted to us in July, and evaluated its actual implementation. We issued our final report on the 31st. Generally, what we found is that it's a strong document and it's a strong program, but there were some practices that were written into the plan that had not yet been accomplished. There were some portions of it that were perhaps more aspirational. And some effective practices that were already out there in place, such as, for example, their safety observation system, which gathers the results of frontline discussions between supervisors and employees, were actually not represented in there. And so we would certainly hope they would get credit for effective safety practices that were already out there. So we sent them a list of our findings on the 31st of December, and we got our formal response back on the 13th. We are doing a more detailed review of their proposed corrective actions, but as of right now, we consider them to be acceptable. And I think that the one other thing that's worth noting, and I think we'll come back to this in a bit, is that by performing this audit and by getting WMATA's formal response, we resolved the last open concern that FTA had as part of their March 2010 audit. And that led them to close both all of their open recommendations to WMATA as well as their last remaining finding addressed to the TOC. WMATA's internal safety audit program continues to be a strong point. It continues to generate the corrective action plans that we were talking about. We certainly don't want to see them generate caps for the sake of generating caps, but it's a strong indicator that the agency is proactively tracking down safety problems on its own without, of course, you know, having to wait for an outside organization such as ours or an incident or something like that. We're pleased to note that these are proceeding on schedule and all the requirements for notifying us prior to holding these are being met at this time. The WMATA is required to submit an annual report and a general manager's certification of compliance every year with the System Safety Program Plan and with the Security and Emergency Preparedness Plan. We've received those. Those are on schedule, and we find them to be acceptable. Just to run down a few recent incidents that have reached our level, I think on all of them I'll lead off by saying we've requested additional information from WMATA staff and various departments, and they've all been very responsive to us. So I don't think we have any open remaining questions about these, but I wanted just to run down and let you know what had crossed our radar screen. There was a power loss on January 26th at the control center that led to some communications problems and difficulties with dispatching the trains. It was eventually traced back to, I think, a fault within an uninterruptible power system that was triggered by some kind of power spike. We understand that they have resolved the issue and over the course of the next 6 months to a year will be installing additional upgrades and have some short-term mitigation measures in place prior to the arrival of those long-term upgrades. So we've reviewed what they're planning to do to resolve this, and we're okay with it at the time being. They've submitted a lot of information to us on the replacement program for both the 2, 3, and 4,000 series and the 5,000 series, replacement of the friction rings and friction hubs, depending on which series it is. They're going to a newer and stronger piece of equipment for each one of these series. There have been some 12 car train that I put on here. There have been some lower order rule compliance incidents both here and within yards that again they've briefed us on their response to them. But our overall approach is that we want to ensure they are conducting system-wide pattern analysis and that these quote-unquote smaller incidents, you know, it may seem like, you know, why are we talking about such a little incident and such, you know, perhaps there's no little incidents, just like there's no little actors only, or little roles only little actors. These help to ensure that they don't progress. A focus on these helps to ensure they don't progress into a broader issue, which gets back to why we do such a careful evaluation of their hazard management program. This is the kind of lower order incident that hopefully a strong hazard management program can work to reduce. Of course, I think you always shoot for zero incidents such as this, but in the nearer term, simply want to reduce them to as much as practical. WMATA is required by federal regulation to submit its policy-level safety and security program plans to the TOC on an annual basis for review. There were some initial delays around the holidays, but right now the progress is positive. There's no significant changes to either the security or the safety plans from 2011. There had been some pretty major overhauls last year, but this year is sort of tweaking and revising. TOC will approve the 2012 System Safety Program Plan And the Transit Police and TOC are working to review the security and emergency preparedness plan. It's obviously a sensitive document, so we can only review it in person, on site, in hard copy. But we've sent them our comments on that, and we expect to get a response back shortly. We internally are updating our program documents, our standards by which we run our program and require WMATA to run some of its safety and security planning processes. And we've invited them to share whatever comments they might have on our documents so that, you know, we get to sit around and review and approve theirs all day. They get to do some review on ours as well, and we integrate their feedback as appropriate. I think I mentioned this earlier, but again, the limited changes to these documents speaks to a larger focus on, rather than trying to find out what works, I think that from a system safety perspective, the agency is now moving towards, having found what works, making it work more effectively. These are just some initiatives that we will be monitoring over the coming months. WMATA has proposed a confidential close call reporting system similar to what's done in the federally regulated railroad and aviation modes. We're very interested in that. The track circuit health monitoring tool, sometimes called the loss of shunt tool, I think it's from our information is pretty much mature, and I think we're going to continue to be interested in how the data from that is used. The worker ahead warning system, which is a system of warning lights that's sort of being piloted over here by Judiciary Square, and we're interested in how that. It's obviously still in the testing phases, but we're interested in how it will progress, whether or not it works for the agency. It's certainly not worth spending a lot of money on something that's not going to be effective, but we'll be monitoring the testing and rollout of that. Obviously, the DuPont Circle, the temporary shutdown of the south entrance for escalator work, has led to a remarkable amount of planning and preparation by the agency in terms of fire life safety and emergency preparedness. They held a pretty significant drill overnight, I think at the end of January, and we were fortunate enough to have the opportunity to participate and observe. And we're pretty happy with what we see. I think they've done a lot of planning on this, and it's certainly reflected simply in the assets you see staged there. There is obviously an ongoing system safety analysis of the ATC, the automated train control system, as well as semi-regular, quote-unquote, summits of all of the different departments and subgroups that have a stake in the upgrades and the revisions and the maintenance of the ATC system. And we've had the opportunity to sit in on these, and they're a remarkable learning experience for us, but they also, from what we can tell, are very productive in terms of cross-pollinization between departments on, sharing resources and combining efforts, and so we think these are a really effective practice that we hope to see continue. We understand that WMATA is in the process of updating its Roadway Worker Protection Program, which is required under the standard itself. It's clearly a strong program, but it needs to be revised and reviewed. One of the things that we did last Friday was some of our staff and contractors went out to the Alexandria Maintenance Facility with about 48 hours of notice to go and take a look at their record keeping of job safety briefings. If you go out onto the tracks, you're required, the roadway worker in charge is required to document the briefing they provided, expressing what kind of protection you'll have from trains, reviewing potential hazards, going over the kind of work that will be performed and any unique hazards that will create. And it's a practice that I think in the original RWP was adapted from the freight railroad procedures. And it's clearly, we wanted to ensure that, first of all, as required, they were getting performed, and second of all, that the documents were being retained the way that the procedure laid out. And what we found was that while there were some variations between individual sub-departments, again, we went out there without a lot of warning, first of all, they were clearly being followed. sometimes, you know, minor documentation errors, but when we said, you know, I'd pick a random date and said, show me the RWP briefings for this particular night of work, and they dig through a stack of paper, they go through computers, and they could find it. And if they couldn't find it, they could pick up the phone and find somebody at another yard who could track it down for us. I think that's important, and, you know, clearly there's some slight tweaks that might be beneficial in terms of record keeping and centralizing it. But the really important thing from our perspective was that we showed up and said, please show us your documentation. And everybody pretty much dropped what they were doing and said, how can we help? And from an oversight agency, that's really great, and that's a significant change from the past. As I mentioned, we closed out all the FTA audits, audit findings from 2010. We have one NTSB recommendation addressed to us, which is simply to resolve the FTA's concerns, and we've asked NTSB to close it in formal correspondence. We're waiting to hear back from NTSB on that, and I think we wanted to note that our ability to close out our audit findings is contingent upon a lot of hard work on the part of WMATA folks, and we certainly appreciate that. We're preparing for our next FTA audit, which has not even been scheduled. We anticipate it will be sometime next year, but we're going to try doing some kind of a dry run to bring in some outside folks and try and audit ourselves in advance of the FTA getting there. We continue to participate in the safety and security oversight for the Dulles Extension Project. The primary activity for this is participation in their Safety and Security Certification Working Group. We're working we worked with a number of the stakeholders, the Transit Police and Safety Department and some MWA personnel to ensure that the hazard management and threat assessment requirements were being met for Phase 1 and Phase 2. We had some concerns about the rate at which and the detail at which those would be performed, and I think those have been resolved. And we're also going to put together a responsibilities document for our leadership to just explain exactly what we do and don't do for this project. Some other minor things. We have a new TOC member from the District of Columbia, John Chisholm, who was appointed in October 2011. I already mentioned the practice audit and the track safety documentation. Staff from all three of our jurisdictions were provided some staff support and information and other assistance for some of the discussions that went on at the governor's mayor meeting that occurred in January 2012 between Governor McDonnell and Governor O'Malley and Mayor Gray of D.C. And the last thing is we continue to work with WMATA to participate in their safety certification of the new 7000 series rail cars. In closing, the general state of the safety oversight relationship is strong, and mentioned the CAP progress. Our review of program documents is pretty much on schedule. The FTA findings, we're very proud of that, and I think WMATA should be as well. And we'll continue to focus with them on hazard management and ensuring a systems approach to smaller, lower order incidents as part of a campaign to ensure that they don't turn into larger ones. And with that, I'll be happy to take any questions you might have.
Questions from the committee members? I have some, but give everybody a chance. Guess I better ask one.
No, Mr. Downs. On fatigue, I'm pleased to see that you're working cooperatively with the staff on recommendations. Will your recommendations cover not only recommended maximum hours of work per day, but maximum hours of work per week?
We're at a point where we completed the initial factual report simply on the rail side because that's our scope. And our report, because we wrote it with the understanding that WMATA had additional activities planned, didn't go to the point of issuing recommendations or findings or anything like that. My understanding is their current path forward involves more analysis, whether it is performing the same kind of interviews that we did for the rail group for their bus and paratransit side, as or whether it's the implementation of a biomathematical model to do a more technical analysis on what would work for the rail side or for anybody else. So I don't, we're certainly not at present in a position to issue recommendations, nor do I think, although I'll defer to Jim or to any of the WMATA folks, to say that this is where they're going to go in terms of weekly or hourly or daily limits or anything like that, because I think that they have a lot more analysis planned before they're going to, but I'll defer to.
No, I agree that there's a lot more analysis required. I just hope that part of that is a joint participation in recommendations about hours of work on a daily basis and hours of work on a weekly basis, absent any national regulator for issues of safety in our industry, and the fact that there's mixed expectations about legislation that would actually create one going forward. I've said again that it is, I think, the responsibility of the board to make a decision about a framework for worker safety on hours of work. I would, with the chairman's agreement, suggest that there is a responsibility both of the TUC and the staff to make a set of recommendations to the board about what we think going forward are reasonable limits on overtime, both on a daily and a weekly basis. And if you're comfortable, I think the TUC should also make a recommendation to the board about whether or not you think the board has a specific responsibility to enroll that in a board decision at some point.
I think that we'd be very happy to work with the WMATA staff on some kind of a joint. I would think that given the structure of our original evaluation that was very much a joint effort, I think we probably, our preference would be to any kind of recommendations that came out would be to do it jointly with them.
The other question is, are you comfortable with the fiscal resources that are available for the ATC review?
I'm not. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I'm not really prepared to talk about specific dollar amounts that are assigned to it. I know that overall the management of the response to the NTSB recommendations generally in terms of the assets assigned to them seems to be appropriate, but I'd have to go back and take a closer look.
It would be good to be able to have the board address that as part of this coming year's budget to make sure we all, I think, recognize the seriousness of the questions that are raised about the unknowns in ATC and having the right fiscal resources to address those with technical support, I think, is an important consideration. And working with staff, I hope you would be comfortable making a recommendation about it.
It's certainly something we can discuss.
When I mentioned earlier the long-term planning agenda, both of those topics, fatigue and ATC, are things that we need to spend a lot of time on. Other questions? Let me pick up a few that I noted. On your chart that showed unacceptable and acceptable, you said that the unacceptable have largely been dealt with. Is this the residual?
These are the residual
ones,
yes.
These are the residual.
Yes.
Could you give us a memo on what the unacceptable open recommendations are so we know what those things are? We talked about fatigue. On your incidents of concern, you use the term lower order. Can you clarify what you mean by that?
Incidents that may not meet the 49 CFR Part 659 standard for reportable, incidents that may not result in injury or even necessarily in significant damage, things that really exist in the gray area between incident response and just generalized hazard management.
Great, thank you. question for staff on the overhaul and resubmittal of the system safety plan. System safety plan, as adopted last year, had a statement of board policy as part of it. I think it would be useful to bring that statement back to the board, and we can re-endorse it or modify it as necessary. But I'd like everyone who hadn't participated a year ago to know that this is, in fact, a board responsibility.
We can do that.
On the Dulles project and the 7000 series, where it's new equipment or new system coming into place, do you intend to have a formal document or a formal process that would indicate that, in your judgment, these are things that are now ready to be used? I know the staff will. We don't start anything up without a safety certification, but I'm asking if you will be commenting on that.
The primary responsibility for safety certification, as you point out, does lie with the transit agency.
And you'll be looking at whether that was done in a adequate fashion.
Yes, and actually the focus of our current efforts, as noted here, is the safety certification working groups, the idea being that you know, when you have 7000 series cars arriving on the property, or once you have you're close to the revenue operations date for the Dulles project, that you don't have the TOC suddenly showing up and saying, we're here, we will now begin our assessment.
Send those cars back.
Yes, with it is our intent to participate as fully in the existing processes as we can to ensure that our concerns, whatever they might be, are resolved well in advance of the actual dates for service, so that, you know, there's a minimal level of surprises. And we've thus far had a very good cooperation from both the WMATA as well as the M1 DTP staff in allowing us the access we need.
We don't want to be surprised either. So
no. There will, of course, be, you know, we're planning for what we call a pre-revenue safety assessment or a pre-revenue service assessment for the Dulles project, not too far in advance before the Phase 1 opens. But it's important to note, that's going to be a culmination of the work that we do now rather than simply starting over. So we hope there will be, in fact, we plan that there will be no surprises on our end.
Other questions? I just wanted to comment on one item Mr. Downs did mention. There is legislation sort of being worked on in Capitol Hill, sort of. A lot of it is pretty grim stuff, which we should be watching, but I'm particularly following the safety issues with respect to that legislation, and would note that the House and Senate versions are substantially different. The House essentially says, we don't really want the federal government to get terribly involved. We'll kind of stick with the status quo of the state safety organizations. They do propose to skim 1% of the transit funding nationally and allocate it to the safety agencies, which would relieve the current jurisdictions of the burden of paying, but maybe they'd be happy to pass through their savings. We'll note that. The Senate bill is developed around, but not identical to what the administration had submitted 2 years ago. It does add a level of federal activity. It adds a rulemaking authority for the Federal Transit Administration, but it would delegate most of the exercise of oversight and reporting to the state safety organizations. I would just note that at the time the original legislation was being drafted and hearings were held on it, particularly by Senator Mikulski, the Metro position was supportive of that additional federal responsibility. So I think if we're asked now, where are we? I assume we're still in the same place. Okay. Other questions, comments? Fortunately, we have no incidents of note to hear about. And if not, I will adjourn the meeting, and we will meet again in a month. And reminder that we want to talk about the long-term agenda at that point. Thank you.